Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Say loudly.
Despondency, he said he was introspective. He looked within his own heart to find out the cause of that despondency. And he said, Kimva Bhagavata Dharma Na Prayena Rupita. Could the cause of my problem this be Na Prayena? Just almost nothing about Krishna, practically speaking. No Bhagavad Dharma. No true nature of the soul of me. I've developed in my own thinking a phrase for this that every living entity ultimately feels. I call it existential terror. Everyone in this world really should be terrified of their situation unless they are purely in the shelter of Krishna. Everyone bluffs. No one wants to admit their actual situation, that we are alone, stranded, no true shelter. This is, of course, for those who are not connected to the actual shelter, Krishna, through Bhagavad Dharma, through Krishna consciousness. So Vyasadeva was perceiving this. I heard Prabhupada say this morning, he was talking to one man, possibly Rishikesh. And Prabhupada it was in 1977, and he was very, very ill already. Very, very ill. It was close to the last days of his being on this planet. And he said that everyone is by nature a servant of Krishna. Of course, he explained it more slowly and elaborately. And everyone in this world has turned their back on that relationship with Krishna. And everyone by nature longs to be blissful, because it's our nature as part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vangso jivaloke. We are angsa, Krishna's part, and Krishna is Satchitananda. So we, turning our back on Krishna, turn our back on our blissful nature, and therefore we are suffering, and to cover up that suffering, we turn to intoxication of one variety or another. No, it was actually, now I remember, the conversation was in Perth, Australia. And it was a person with a master's degree in philosophy. And he was asking about what is the Atma, what is Brahman, all the things he had theoretically heard in his university courses. And it was so vague, and everything Prabhupada said was so clear. And finally he said to Prabhupada, "What do you think about drugs?" And then Prabhupada said, "Another madness." Because of having turned their back on Krishna, and he explained this, and everyone is suffering. And to forget the suffering, taking shelter of some sort of intoxication or another, whether it's drugs or television or this or that, or the movies, just forgetfulness. But Srila Vyasadeva, understanding his own heart, considered what the cause of this could it be that I haven't fully described Krishna engaged in Bhagavad Dharma? And just then, as he was thinking in that way, his spiritual master Srila Vyasadeva arrived. So this is chapter 5, text 1. Suta Goswami said, "Thus the sage amongst the gods, Surishina," so the Surishi, Narada, "comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the Rishi amongst the Brahmins, Vedavyas." Prabhupada's purport is very short, but to the point. Narada was smiling because he well knew the great sage Vedavyas and the cause of his disappointment. As he will explain gradually, Vyasadeva's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Narada knew the defect, and it was confirmed by the position of Vyas. Addressing Vyasadeva, the son of Parasara, Narada, Vyasadeva, who is the son of Parasara, Narada inquired, "Are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization?" What does that mean? Why does he put that in there? What is the relevance of that for us and all of us who feel that in the core of our consciousness, some existential terror or despondency? Are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as the object of self-realization? Who are you? What do you consider the Atma or the Self? Most of me, thinks of the body, and the rest of the time thinks of the mind as the Self. And whoever I think is myself, that's where my service will be directed. That will be the center of my existence. That will be the center of my pleasure seeking. If I identify with the body, the family, the country, I'll be serving the body, the family, or the country, or my mind. I have to please my mind. I have to please my body. I have to please the mind. On and on and on and on. So what Narada is hinting is that these things, neither the body, the mind, even if we become full devotees of them, they can never bring us happiness. Why? Because, and even what will come out very soon, even if we don't identify with the mind and don't identify with the body, even if we know that we're eternal souls, spiritual entities, that still won't bring happiness, because it's only a partial knowledge of who we actually are. Just like if you tell someone, in the West, it's the habit when you introduce yourself, everyone is very casual nowadays, so you just introduce yourself by your first name. But that's an incomplete understanding of who we are. Very incomplete. Because to understand who the person is and what has molded him, where he's coming from, he has to be introduced in relationship to his surname, his family name, too. Because that tells who this person is in relationship to a family, Or some people in India, when they go to the West, they adopt the name of their village or their state as their family surname. Because everyone has to be known in relationship with someone else, with something else. So to know that we are souls eternal in and itself is insufficient, because the relationship with the whole, with Krishna, is missing. So therefore Mahaprabhu said, Jivera, Swarup, the actual Swarupa, his own identity. Jivera, of the Jiva, his own actual, his own Swarup, Rupa, his own form, his own identity, Krishna Nityadas, Krishner Nityadas. This is the complete identity, not only eternal, but eternally Nityadas, Krishnadas. So therefore, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as the objects of self-realization? And the answer, of course, he knowing the heart of Srila Vyasadeva, was no, I am not satisfied, and nor is anyone else. Now he's going to push a little further. This is the job of the teacher, to push. Your inquiries were full, and your studies were also well fulfilled, and there is no doubt that you've prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. So what is the cause? The Mahabharata, in the Maharaj, 3rd canto, 5th chapter, 12th verse. 3, 5, 12. So he's already compiled the Mahabharata. This is Maitreya, or Vidura speaking to Maitreya. Can you read it? The English, please.
Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipara Vyas, really described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work. But the whole idea is to draw the attention.
The whole idea is to draw the attention
of the mass of people to Krishna Gita, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing on making topics.
Yes. This was the purpose, as spoken by Vidura himself. Still, even though you've put the Bhagavad Gita in the huge Mahabharata, still you're not feeling satisfied? You've done something so wonderful. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman, as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. This is in the Vedanta Sutra, also known as the Brahma Sutra. Why should you be despondent in spite of all of this? So this is the question. We could ask the powerful personalities of this world, the billionaires, the one who have the perfect ones who have the perfect family, the perfect business, the perfect house, the perfect bodies, famous. But still, there's something missing. Why, in spite of all this, you are thinking yourself undone, my dear Prabhu? But of course, he knows. So Srila Vyasadeva replied. This is a concise expression of despondency's root cause. Srila Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one Brahma who is self-born without mundane father and mother. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. Even though we theoretically may say, I am a spirit soul, I am Krishna's servant. But unless we're actually realizing that, there will be despondency. actually realizing it means actually acting in that way. Otherwise, body and mind is the center of my existence. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind. And that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected, even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge. It is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. This is Narada's greatness spoken by the great Vyasadeva. Everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds. How did he become so powerful, so free? How did Narada Muni become so free that he could travel everywhere in the three worlds and even to Vaikuntha, the spiritual worlds? That is going to be described later in this chapter, the process by which he became like that. And it exemplifies Bhagavad Dharma, the ideal life. And we'll hear about that. We'll meet Narada Muni from his birth to his death. We'll watch him, hear from him, see his realizations develop. As such, you are as good as the all-pervading Supersoul. Please therefore find out the deficiency in me despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. So those things are very helpful, but they are not the goal of itself in and of itself. Now today, I'm not sure how far we'll get, but I'd like to read, even though we may only go up to 11 today, because there's a few purports I'd like to read very carefully. But we'll read now the verses 8 to 13. Narada said, and then we'll go back and read some of the purports. Narada said, immediately, boom! What the problem is? You've asked me to find out the deficiency? When there is sincerity like that, a fully knowledgeable spiritual master doesn't have to be vague and go around and be careful of offending the person. He's going to tell him exactly what it is, the problem, because he's fully sincere. He surrendered. His heart is open to the instruction. He wants those instructions. So Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's the problem. This is the natural position of the soul. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is worthless. The philosophy, the singing, the life that is not meant for satisfying Krishna, Narada is saying, is worthless. We should take that deeply into our consciousness because, why? Yeah, we want to get to the root of the problem that Krishna has to be the center, not me. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Gunchide, that's bhakti. When the Rishikesha, the controller of the senses becomes, which is Krishna, he becomes the center. And our business is to please him. That is called bhakti, when one is fixed in that. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless, even though it may be completely spiritual. Worthless. Narada is speaking so strongly and to the point. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudev. But I've written so much. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, they are considered by saintly persons to be like unto pilgrimage, place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the old where do crows go? To the place where there's garbage. Since the all perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So even literature, which is so wonderfully composed, if it doesn't glorify Krishna, rejected by the Paramhamsas, loved by the crows. There is an old Chinese saying by Confucius. The Duke of Wen asked Confucius, "What can you say about a person?" Very sagacious person, Confucius was, on a certain level. "What can you say about a person," the Duke of Wen asked him, "who is loved by everyone in the village?" And Confucius replied, "I cannot say anything about that person." And then the Duke asked him, "What can you say about a person who is hated by everyone in the village?" And he said, "I cannot say anything about such a person. It is better to be loved by the good people and hated by the bad." So if there's a literature that's so popular all over the world and everyone loves it, the crows love it, it's better for a literature to be accepted and loved by the Paramhamsas and rejected by the crow-like personalities. But on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation. Full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. So powerful. It is worth reading that 100 times. One time, when the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, when Prabhupada was first publishing it by Macmillan, big publishing company, they sent away to many famous personalities to get what's it called when they write something in the beginning of a preface or what? Review. Yes, a review. So some very famous people wrote back their reviews, and most of them were favorable, but one very Buddhistical Western popular author, Alan Watts, was very strong and critical of it, of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Bhaktivedanta Swami's saying that the Bhagavad Gita can't be interpreted, that itself is an interpretation." Very strongly against. So when the devotees told that to Prabhupada, Prabhupada was very happy. He said, "It is good when the demons are disturbed." That's what he said. Because it's meant to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. It's meant to change everything. So the people who are established in impiety, they're not going to say, "Oh, how nice you devotees are. no illicit sex, close the brothels, no intoxication, close the liquor shops, no gambling, close the casinos, and the bingo parlors too, and no meat eating. Oh, how nice it's going to be. We'll all close the slaughterhouses. How wonderful. No! This is where they're making their money from. Their whole life is based on these things. They're going to fight. They hate it. Threatened. But this is what the Bhagavad Gita is meant to do. Projita kaitava. Throwing out all these cheating religions. And yes, yes, do whatever you want. It's okay. Therefore, Prabhupada was like a general. Of course, Prabhupada was very sweet, but he was so heavy. So heavy, pushing everyone out to fight. That literature, full of transcendental words, it's of a different creation. It's not material words. It can pierce the heart of a living entity and change his heart from material to spiritual. Such literature, because Vyasadeva has just written so much, and Narada's condemned the other, anything that isn't focused on Krishna, that isn't transcendental, that isn't exactly to the point, is a pilgrimage place for crows, and that the Paramhamsas, the actual transcendentalists, they want something completely different. They have a different taste. So this literature is transcendental. It can touch a soul on the soul level. Even though this transcendental literature, even though it may be imperfectly composed, they are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. What do you hear when you hear that thoroughly honest in there? It is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. What's the opposite of a thoroughly honest person? Well, yes, thoroughly motivated. What other words? Crooked, dishonest, duplicitous, conceited, vicious, bluffing, cheater, hypocrite. All, even though he may be have all the appearances. But because he's in the center of his existence, he's identified with the mind and the soul and the body, the mind and the body, not with the soul. Therefore, he's bluffing. His honesty and good qualities are bluffs because it's just a matter of naming a price and he'll sell out everything. Everyone in the material world has a price. That they have so many beliefs and everything, but as soon as the price is the one that they're willing to pay, everything goes. Very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. All good qualities out the window. But the transcendentalist, there is no price in the material world. Neither on the sense level, on the mind level, on the spiritual level. They are sold completely to Krishna. And the topmost emblem of this are the gopis. Krishna has a headache. Oh, the only thing that will cure him is the dust from the feet of his devotee. How could I do that? I'll go to hell. And what do the gopis say? All right, if it will relieve one drop of Krishna's pain, for a moment, I'm willing to go to hell. This is the standard. We want to, you know, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, but who's willing to pay the price? Who's willing to pay the price? And what's the price? Everything. So it takes a full revolution in the heart, a changing of the center, Bhagavad Dharma, a changing of the center from me as either the mind or the body as the center to the service of Krishna. Jivera Sarupoi Nityar, Krishner Nityaras. Very big change, not cheap change, not superficial. I'll read 12 and 13 and then we'll go back and read Prabhupada's purports. So literature on one level, non-transcendental, even if it's wonderfully composed by the greatest scholars or the some writers, they write and they captivate their mind and their words flow like water, and it's so sweet to the ear and pleasing to the mind. Reject it. And then on the other hand, if someone has written something that's transcendental and pure and touches the heart to the exact point of the root cause of the problem, purely, even if it's imperfectly composed, it is glorious. And then, 12, and we'll speak about this, I believe, tomorrow more. Very wonderful verse. Nice kamyam apyachutta bhava varjitam naso bite gyanamalam naranjanam. Knowledge of self-realization. Just see how extreme this Bhagavad Dharma is. Even knowledge that we're eternal souls, even though free from all material affinity, nothing tinged with the material world, all misconceptions gone. Even that does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God of Krishna. What then is the use of fruitive activities? Because Vyasadeva has written all this. He's written about fruitive activities in the Vedas. He's written about Brahman realization in Vedanta. So if Brahman realization is considered not looking well or complete, what to speak of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? O Vyas, your vision is completely perfect. This is verse 13. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. All the background qualities are there. And thus, because you're so pure and good, and most of, I can speak for myself, my struggles, sometimes we will condemn the mode of goodness, but I don't have a problem with the problems that the mode of goodness cause. The mode of goodness is the jumping off point. Based on that, firm and vow, not a transcendental quality. Situated in truthfulness, not a transcendental quality. Perfect vision, you see, spirit and matter, not a transcendental quality. These are all sattvam sanjayate jnanam. These are born of goodness. But because he has this goodness, thus, you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. And that trance, Vyasadeva will enter into that trance and he will have a revelation of the Srimad Bhagavatam based on these instructions of Narada Muni to him. And that is the basis of the Bhagavatam, and that will be described again in the beginning of chapter Vyasadeva's trance. Yes, chapter 7. Right in the beginning, soon as Narada Muni leaves, because he's instructing him to do this, you already have all the prerequisites. Now, go for the essence, the pastimes of the Lord. And then when you have that, you describe that for everyone's benefit, because Krishna will attract everyone. Because this material world is a desert. Krishna is the water of life, Krishna Katha. Ihan Mali Sechi Nitya Shravanadi Jal. We have to water the plant of our devotional Kripa sprinkle it with the water of Shravan, of hearing, Adi, all the rest of the processes. Back up now a bit and we'll to read as well. On Bhagavatam 154, where Narada immediately said, you have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived thereof, therefrom, all the knowledge derived from that fixed in Brahman. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking you're undone, my dear Prabhu? Why? Why doesn't that satisfy? Srila Jiva Goswami, in Pratisandarbha, thank you, he has commented in the first anuchet, explaining that mere Brahman realization, this isn't his quotation, this is something I've written leading up to it. Brahman realization, as Vyasadeva had achieved and described within his books, cannot satisfy the soul. Love, priti, is the soul's true need. And here is the comment of Srila Jiva Goswami on this verse. Direct perception of Bhagavan, who appears as Paramatma and in many other forms also, is the highest kind of liberation. In that highest liberation, the most exalted spiritual activities are known by names like bhakti, devotional service, and priti, spiritual love. Spiritual love, priti, is considered the highest of all spiritual sentiments. Priti completely ends all suffering. What does priti mean? Love needs an object. Yes. Of the highest level. This is prayojan. This is the goal. Prema pamarto mahan, Mahaprabhu has said. Priti completely ends all sufferings. Without priti, the highest stage of spiritual life is not attained. Priti is not dependent on anything else. To the extent one has priti, one is fortunate. Priti is present as one is making progress towards liberation, and it is also present when one has attained liberation. That is the correct understanding. Srila Jiva Sethi Goswami says, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of transcendental bliss. Transcendental bliss is the abode of priti. This is where priti lives. Therefore, priti is most important in experiencing transcendental bliss. Therefore, the spirit soul should always try to attain priti. Priti is the greatest need, the highest goal of all of the spirit souls. So Narada tells Vyasadeva immediately, you have not actually broadcast the sublime spotless glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. The eternal relation of an individual soul with the Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead, is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor of the eternal master. The Lord has expanded himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them. And this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. In other words, if we try to relate to the Lord in any other way, he won't be satisfied. What verse from the Bhagavad Gita shows how he's satisfied by the simplest thing if given with love? Yo mem bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam asnami. Asnami means I will take it. Bhakti paritam, if it's given with love, I will take it. He wants it. There are so many wonderful stories, pastimes about this. That one about Raghunanda Thakur, the little boy who offered the food to the deities. His father told him, I'm going out. He had given him Brahmin initiation. You offer the food to the deity. And he was a little boy, so he offered the food to the deity. Please take this. And then he saw the food was still there. So he began crying. My father will be so angry if you don't take this. So the deity took it. He ate it. And then there was no prasadam left. The boy went to his mother. Where's the food? His mother said. Oh, the deity ate it. She thought, oh, the boy's eating it, like the way boys tend to be. And he's said the deity ate it. So she didn't believe him. The deity couldn't refuse the simple-hearted love of the boy. This will satisfy Krishna. Asnami paratatmana and yayatma supasidati. If Krishna is satisfied, we are satisfied. Bhagavad Dharma. Try to please Krishna. The next verse. Although great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read. The prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. So the Puranas, Gopal Tapani, Upanishad, and the Puranas, the Mahabharata has so much description of Krishna, but the proportion wasn't sufficient to satisfy the soul. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Srila Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well the difference. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. Shunya, janiya shunya bisha kainu. So if one doesn't know, then okay. So Prabhupada said that was his favorite song. What song is that from? Manusha Janamapai. Although I've gotten this very rare form of human life, but Radha Krishna Nabajiya. I have not worshipped Radha and Krishna. Janiya, I know better. I know what the truth is. Shuni, I've heard. Bisha Kainu. What's that? Knowingly. Oh, so unfortunate, so unfortunate. Thus, he was despondent. From this it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And then skipping a bit, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasadeva, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. I can't remember which devotee it was that told I think it might have been Runchorpu from England, who late at night, he looked in the keyhole in Prabhupada's room in Bury Place, and he saw Prabhupada talking to someone and preaching to someone strongly or something. And then, but there didn't seem to be anyone in the room. And then they saw there was a mouse in there. So if one really wants to preach or describe the glories of the Lord, no loss. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we can preach to the four walls if no one is there. Now Srila Jiva Goswami has commented on this verse. You have broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances. You have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality. Jiva Goswami, he says that knowledge devoid of the Lord's glories is useless and incomplete, but useless. And also in Priti Sandarbha, he says, Sri Narada spoke these words because he knew that the description of the Lord's glories would awaken love for him. So not only is this the goal, but this is also the means. Yes, this is the end, but also doing it, describing the glories of Krishna, is the means to achieve that end, says Jiva Goswami, because the description of the Lord's glories would awaken love for him. In Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami mentions two reasons why the Bhagavatam was manifest. First, to show that mere knowledge, in commenting on this verse, of Brahman is insufficient to satisfy the soul. And second, to show that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be directly seen only by loving service. I wanted to read Prabhupada's purports to 10 and 11 for quite a few reasons. These purports are so powerful. They're long, though. But I used to read these in my writing class when I was teaching writing years ago because they're so powerful. And they're really, they show Prabhupada's mood. His voice is so strong. His voice, his presence is so strong in his words. So this 10 is, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who can alone sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Now, there's a tendency to try to read it fast, because you want to get through it, because you think, it's to those who are listening. But actually, from my experience, I found it's better to read it slowly. And it helps the... And then I'll ask a few comments. I'll ask if what struck you the most in this? What sentence struck you the most? So please listen carefully. What was very powerful for you? Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather, because of their different mental attitudes. Well, some other devotees have books? Yeah. No, yes, read. Loudly though. Yeah. Oh, Maharaj, you start with this one. Keep it.
Fruit of workers.
But slowly, slowly.
The swans do not take pleasure when there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stains. stems of lotus flowers, and that's the difference between the two classes of birds.
Okay. Loudly and slowly.
Yet with all that, they do decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. But they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. And thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. To keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane, or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind.
Okay.
Social refuge.
Louder and slower. Loudly, loudly. Actually enjoyed by that kind of person. What else? Yesterday and tomorrow. Yeah. Nice image, yes? Very different. The two are different. The what? Yes.
It's a mental plastic.
Yes.
But only, not only in place, for the television.
Yes. The whole society. What struck me was how the spiritually advanced men are also called manasa because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. Voluntarily, because of their attraction, they keep up that standard, which completely forbids, but it's not exactly a regulation. It's because of their different taste. They keep away from the garbage dumps, like the swans keep away. But why don't we can talk about this in 7 or 8 minutes, because I have to, I'd like to keep to the schedule. And we can have discussion. Any other points you want to bring out, we can bring out then. But then the 11th verse, and we'll continue with our reading and read Prabhupada's purport. So Prabhupada, very, very strong. And this one's even stronger. This one is, on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation. So those things that were composed, even if very beautifully, classically, wonderfully, famous, heroic, literary personalities, if they're not about the Lord, they're useless. But on the other hand, transcendental literature, even if imperfectly composed, it can touch the heart and change the heart. Make the impious lives, a revolution can start. And these transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. They are honest about who they are. They are not bluffing. I'll read some. This is classic. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best, even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field. Yet, we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is not due to the issue in question, but due to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially in a foreign language, will certainly fail. And there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration. And the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is a fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature. Yet, it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read. That is a natural instinct. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. So we are fortunately getting the association of Sri Narada, who has so kindly appeared and undergone so much to translate and give his purports on the Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here, and on Monday, if Krishna allows, we shall continue and come up. We'll hear all of Narada Muni's words on this level, and then he's going to, and on Tuesday, again, Krishna willing, he will begin to tell, we will hear the life story of Narada Muni, how he came to Krishna consciousness, and we'll hear of the potent atmosphere that can be generated through deep Krishna consciousness and the effects it can have on people. So that's on Tuesday, and tomorrow we'll hear this very strong, on Monday we'll hear the strong preaching by Narada to Vyas, criticizing very heavily. Okay, thank you. Questions, comments, points? Two. To show, second was to show that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be directly seen only by loving devotional service. First one is to show that mere knowledge of Brahman is insufficient to satisfy the soul.
Insufficient
to satisfy the soul. One time in New Vrindavan in 1969, I was giving class. I was asked to give class, and Prabhupada was sitting upstairs listening, and I didn't know that. And in the class, I mentioned that that impersonalists fall down from their position. And devotees don't fall down. Of course, we've read a little bit. This is preaching. So at the end of class, we all went up to see Prabhupada. Oh, it was so sweet. Because we were all little boys and girls then. Just little children, practically speaking. Practically just teenagers. And we went up to see our father, practically. And Prabhupada was just sitting. And at the end of the class, someone asked me the question, that is it that impersonalists always fall down, or sometimes? And I said, they always fall down, rah, 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 rah. Who knows what I said. And then, when we went upstairs to see Prabhupada said, so they put the questions to you. Yes, Prabhupada. And then one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, is it that impersonalists always fall down, or they sometimes fall down? So Prabhupada thought a while, and he said, they always fall down. Devotee asked, why? And Prabhupada thought more. He said, because they get lonely. Desire for pretty, for love, for Krishna, it's natural. So the means for that progression, our very means of conquest, is the Bhagavatam. Of course, holy names. Yeah. Well, Prabhupada was at least specifically speaking about in India too, where the Nehru government, everything that was foreign, anything came from India, whether it was medicine or anything, he wanted to reject it. So the whole political party, Congress at that time, was very much against Hinduism, quote Hinduism, and it was very much interested in modernization, westernization. So at least he was speaking about that. But also the whole world is clearly moving in the direction of thinking that the cause of all the problems is economics, and the solution rather to all problems is economic solution. After all, look at the look at Europe. For hundreds and hundreds of years, they were trying to unite Europe. They couldn't do it. People fighting different religions. But now there is a European Union. It's based on economics. So based on economics, we will all be happy. And we will thrive, and we will all, this is the solution. So don't, it's okay if you have your religion, but don't take it too seriously. Be really into money and sense enjoyment, be happy. That systematic propaganda is going on everywhere. Huh? Well, they call it economic rationalism. There's so many names for it. Economic rationalism means that based on economics, you can rationalize anything you do. And that's basic. And the trickle-down effect, and gradually the poor, and if you just create big, bringing the big corporations, then gradually the poor people will become elevated and demonic and wrong. We need more factories, we need more, that's what the real need is. Religions, let's see what happens. Fanatics are produced, fight each other, this religion fights others. Yes, this is the, yes, the world is spiritually challenged nowadays. Yeah, it's a problem. Verse what? 8?
Verse 2, it says, Narada.
what? Where does it say the in 8? I see where it says Sri. 2. Okay. What was the question? Why is Sri used? You discussed what a lot in your group. But he was already his guru, wasn't he? Yeah, well, it says that in the last verse of the last chapter. Oh, but then he was Sri Narada in the last chapter. At the last, no, it's just Narada, but Prabhupada says Sri Narada. But he inquired. Yeah, he gave him great veneration. His guru was there. But in any case, whether Sri is used or not used, when Srila Vyasadeva is writing, it's with full veneration and respect. Literally, Narada means Narandha, he who gives to man. And what does he give? Bhakti. Narandha, he gives bhakti to mankind. So that. And where? Amala means without. What does Amala mean? Spotless. So if it's like Prabhupada's English, sometime will be imperfect. So that type of imperfection, and that's what Prabhupada is saying there. There may be faults in language and the way he expresses himself. But that type of fault is not an imperfection, because what he's giving is something transcendental, and that's perfect. So how to judge perfection? Like Prabhupada wore glasses. That means his eyes weren't perfect. He didn't have perfect vision. So does that mean that was an imperfection in that way? Or sometimes his English wasn't right? No. The purity of sincerity and the full-hearted love and desire to help and serving mood, anyabhilashita sunyam, jnana kama, that is where perfection lies. Is that to the point of what you were asking? Or does that bring up another? But one time I heard one devotee say that this predicts Prabhupada's appearance. Because the Bhagavatam itself isn't imperfectly composed. That this verse, the devotee said, that it predicts Prabhupada. Narada's predicting Prabhupada. He said, even if it's imperfectly composed, it's perfectly transcendental. That's what the verse says, but the Bhagavatam itself is not imperfectly composed. In any case, that's a different point than Prabhupada explains here in the verse. He said, undoubtedly, there'll be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present in the proper way. You can't avoid that when it's not your mother tongue. You can't avoid it. That's because you're a swan. Are okay though? What verse? Oh yes, the fire in the house and the purport, yes. Yes, that's what comes through so strongly, the urgency Prabhupada's mood in preaching, his voice. Is that what you were bringing up? Yes, good comment. Also, just one sec, anyone could say any comments about parts of the purports that really struck them and really touched them? Yes. You mean because of the around the world? The world's misdirected civilization. That part where it says it? Okay.
Yeah, bringing about a revolution to fight the lives of this world's misdirected civilization.
They're yes.
That there was also a prediction of the
world. Meant to do that. Create a revolution. Why is it called revolution? What's the point of that? What does that refer to? Yes. And what is that drastic change? And what is that change of consciousness? What's the consciousness that has to be changed? Huh? Yeah. And according to the sort of the reference and terminology that we've just reading about, what has to be changed?
The center.
The center. Yes. No more mind-body being the center. For the revolution to actually occur, Krishna has to be placed in the center. And that is called Bhakti Yoga and Bhagavad Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, Jiva Dharma, Prema Dharma, and what? Priti Dharma, yes. I thought of this morning one very nice little from of Narottama Das Thakur. He said, Srimad, something Bhagavata Srimad Bhagavat Marma, Nava, something, cursed with a lousy memory. Srimad Bhagavatam Marma, Nava Vida, Nava something, Bhakti, Bhagavata Dharma, Srimad Bhagavata Dharma, Nava Vida, Bhagavat Marma. Anyway, the English I'll do better with. He said the essence. Narottama Das Thakur says that the essence of the Bhagavatam, of the religion of the Bhagavatam, is this nine anga, navanga bhakti. That's the religion of the Bhagavatam. Same point. Navavira bhakti dharma.
Here.
Huh? You got it.
Bhagavata Shastra.
Yes, Bhakta Shastra.
Bhakti dharma.
Yes. Now read the English.
This is
Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Now read the English with great force.
I shall internally engage in the full process of devotional service, which is the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ah, this is the right in the beginning.
And I shall not worship the demigods, oh brother.
But we should respect the demigods.
I say to you, devotional service is the most exalted kind.
Bhagavata Shastra Marma Nava Vida
Bhakti Dharma,
Bhakti Dharma.
Sadai Kanibi Susiva.
Thank you. Wait. You can ask after. Yes, they make something that's horrible seem very romantic and glamorous and attracts us in that way. Like a serpent that has a jewel upon its head, still poisonous and dangerous. More so because of the attractiveness of the jewel.
Yesterday,
the last line of the verse? Of the verse. Of the purport? Yes. Yes. Sometimes there's English grammatical faults. Sometimes some part is... sometimes the faults in editing. Prabhupada dictated things, and then the editors sometimes would not understood the Sanskrit. Sometimes there's very subtle, difficult, philosophical points about the creation. Oh, we'll see that with the creation. And it's difficult because the devotees couldn't... Prabhupada told the devotees not to edit it well. Not to try to... Because they couldn't understand it. Because they were just new devotees. This was probably in 1969. Very hard. You won't be able, if you have an aspiration to be Lord Brahma in your next life, and you want to figure out how the creation works in this life to prepare you, you won't be able to do it. Sometimes there are faults in that way. Yes.
Is it technical science of spiritual values? Thus you are not concerned with the techniques. And of course you are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. That's
yes. Yes.
That connection, Robert, seems to very clearly envision that he meant to receive his knowledge. Because it is the same point.
Yes.
The same
because the why? Because the leaders are the ones who influence everyone else. Yad yada chiriti shreshtas. Yes. But the important... But then, okay, yes. But the leaders are leading them because they're the most polluted. But it's so important for the leaders to understand because what the leaders do, everyone else will follow. That's why... One time someone asked Prabhupada, are you planning on opening up your temple and distributing food in the poor sections of the city? And Prabhupada replied, do you think that the wealthy people don't also need help? Yes. Well, that was Prabhupada's always idea, to preach to the... Always he wanted that. To anyone, even a mouse. But the leaders have the power to change the world. Mice don't. Yes, yeah. That was classic. There was a person who was a rep from the UN. Anyone remember his name? 1967 plus 7. Larry Bogart. He was on the original stationery as a trustee of ISKCON. So Prabhupada invited this member of the UN, dignitary UN, to the temple. Somehow he met him. And he went to, and he wanted to cook. He invited him to the temple for lunch. And he spent the whole morning cooking. Prabhupada himself cooked for this man. So the man, Larry Bogart, came, the only person probably ever to walk in 26 Second Avenue wearing a suit and a tie. He walked in and he said, oh, I want to see the Swami. And one of the crazy devotees said, no, sorry, because Prabhupada said, I don't want to be disturbed now because I'm waiting for this person. I don't want to be disturbed. So the man came and said, I want to see the Swami. And he said, no, he doesn't want to be disturbed. He told Larry Bogart. And then, so he sit down, wait for some time. So after 15 minutes, he said, I want to see the Swami. No, he said, he doesn't want to be disturbed. This was the person who Prabhupada was waiting for. It had its rough beginnings. And then the man eventually left. He was disgusted. I've been invited here and they won't let me see the Swami. Yes. Yes. Even he expressed that, this was before he left India, but he expressed that right to the very end. It's the glory of India. Take it up. Raise your hand if you're an Indian. Yes, you have to especially take it up, preaching. So natural. Are you an Indian? Yes. Yes. But also Prabhupada says, by the way, see if I can find the reference easily. Just take me a moment. No. But anyway, he says, anyone who has taken their birth in India, or if you have understood Bhagavad Gita, so that spreads the responsibility more. There it is. India's business is to distribute the spiritual knowledge. Anyone who has taken his birth in India, formerly Bharatvarsha meant the whole planet, now it has come India, never mind. So anyone who has taken his birth in India, Bharatvarsha, let him make his life successful. And kara para upaka, go outside India and do good to others. This is India's business. India's business is to distribute the spiritual knowledge all over the world because they are in darkness. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Bharata bhumite manushya janma hoy yar janma satakakari. First of all, you become successful. You'll find the Vedas, Upanishads, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, so many other things, all Vedic literatures. So if Indians, those who are actually prestigious, they should learn from Guru all these literatures, make his life successful, then go outside and preach. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then if anyone says, I have no knowledge, I have no education, how can I learn all these books and make my life perfect, then I can preach, how can I do it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you haven't got to learn so many books. He just says, Amara Gyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. You just become Guru on my order. Then what is your order, sir? Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Upadesh. This is Guru. You haven't got to learn very much. You simply repeat like a parrot what Krishna has said. That's all. Is it very difficult? Krishna has said everything in the Bhagavad Gita. You learn Bhagavad Gita and you repeat that. You become Guru. This is Guru. He also says somewhere else about anyone. Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we stop now. Is that all right?
What's brought up in our group about Srivastava being Narayan in this particular period of time and how people have wasted any time or not known exactly what to do at all times? How he actually felt
this life. Leela. This was despondency. It explains in the purports that it has been put in his heart by Krishna. The whole thing is lila. Jai Shri Vyasa Deva Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.